91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. Today's program is a special one-hour edition of Linda Gastenheimer's Food and Dining with an all-new slant. No famous chef, restaurant owner, or Food Network star, but with our old friend and South Florida icon, Dave Barry. Good afternoon, Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. Dave Barry is perhaps the only non-Jewish writer who's written a book about Passover. Well, he's co-authored it with two comedic pals. Sacrilegiously, the book has a cover blurb quote from none other than God. About the authors, God says, "Three of the funniest people I've ever created." Kidding aside, it's also a pledge edition. And these days, public radio really needs your support. Topical Currents next. Seven minutes past 1 o'clock. It is today's Topical Currents, Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. Spring Pledge Edition this afternoon. Bonnie Berman, if anyone would know how we're doing and be able to give us an update, it would be you.
Well, we're doing very well. That's all I can say. We have a great day going on, great first morning. Today's a drawing for a $1,500 credit on American Airlines, as well as a six-night trip to Argentina for two. Today's the only day you can pledge and get entered into both drawings. So we just want to give our website, and we'll have lots to talk about during this hour.
It's a very important time to support public broadcasting.
I think it's never been more important than it is right now to support public broadcasting, and you probably agree. 866-247-9576, the number to call, or pledge online at WLRN.org. More on that.
We could break a record today at Topical Currents.
We could, and you can help us.
Okay.
So it is Topical Currents. Our resident chef, author, and syndicated columnist Linda Gastenheimer is here for our weekly food and dining segment. She's invited South Florida's and the nation's favorite humorist, we think, to spend the hour with us. We cherished his long-running syndicated column and stint at the Miami Herald for decades, and the word prolific barely does justice to the incredible number of books he's published. Linda, who could we be talking about?
Well, Carl Hyacin.
And you heard our guest. He's Dave Barry. But before we start, I have a question for you, Joe, and Bonnie.
Okay.
Have either of you ever sat through a Passover Seder?
Now, am I Jewish?
Are you?
Now, ask Joe if he's ever sat through
one. Have you ever sat through one?
Yes, I have.
I thought perhaps you did.
One of the long ones, or one of the ones like where they just...
Well, it was out in California, so I guess it was a short.
Oh, it's a California style, whatever that is. Okay, so as you mentioned, our guest today has been enduring a Seder. He says that enduring a Seder sometimes feels like a 40-year schlep through the desert. And as you mentioned, he's humorist Dave Barry. And he had a popular column in Miami Herald, as we know. He's written several amusing books, and he has many other endeavors. But this is a hilarious book that he's written with two other people. His friends, Alan Zweibel, who was original a Saturday Night Live writer.
And a five-time Emmy Award winner.
Right. And Adam Mainsbach, who has written many award-winning books. And I'm not sure we can say the name of his last book.
No, but it's a big seller. And it was...
What was it called?
Go the Bad Word to Sleep. It was the...
Go the Bad Word to Sleep.
It was a children's book.
It was not really a children's book.
It was a children's... Yeah.
It was for people with children. Definitely not for children. Okay. But anyway, he's a very funny guy. And I want to stress that both Adam and Alan are, in fact, Jewish. I am not. But
and you're not.
They are. I'm the token goy. I give the goy perspective.
Do you know you seem Jewish?
Oh, thank you very much.
I think you almost
seem kind of Catholic,
well,
Dave Berman.
Dave, with me here now, it's plural. We're the goyim.
The goyim.
The goyim, right.
Okay. Well, let's tell him the name of the book.
Okay.
So, Bonnie, you're the one who gives the name of the book.
Well, Joe said it pretty well yesterday. Joe, what's the name of the book?
Oh, you mean in the Episcopalian style?
No, what's the name of the book?
For this, we left Egypt.
No.
Oh. Boo. That's the Episcopalian style.
Okay, yeah. Give it to us in the real way.
For this, we left Egypt.
There you go.
Okay. Dave,
the Passover Haggadah for Jews and those who love them. Now you say it, Dave.
For this, we left Egypt.
Very good.
So, Dave, how Jewish are you then?
Well, I have some credentials. My wife, Michelle Kaufman, is Cuban Jewish, Juban. My joke is they didn't come on rafts. They parted the Caribbean. And
That's a reference to the Exodus of Egypt. Yes, go ahead.
Thanks for explaining that.
I like to explain jokes. You know that.
For the humor impaired in our audience, Linda Gassenheimer will be explaining the jokes as we go along.
If she gets them.
Thank you, Bonnie. Good friend Bonnie talking.
No, I'm sorry, Linda, but sometimes they do go by.
I actually belong to a temple, a Reformed temple, Temple Judea in Coral Gables. My daughter was bat mitzvah there.
Okay.
And here's the big one.
It's the mother that counts.
Exactly. And that's true in all religions, just for the record. But my son, Rob, married a Jewish woman, and they have a son, Dylan. I'm a grandfather. And they are raising him Jewish. So I was chosen as the Sandek for his bris.
Just explain that.
I got to explain. First of all, bris is a tradition where when a Jewish male infant reaches 8 days, he is circumcised in front of friends and family, and then there is a deli platter. Sometimes on the same surface. So they told me when they, you know, I was, of course, very excited. I was going to go to the bris. They said, you will be the Sandek, and this is a big honor. And the Sandek is the person who holds the baby when the moil, which is the Hebrew word for snipper, does the actual circumcision. So I looked this up. I'll be honest, I'm all for circumcision. Okay. I think circumcision is a fine thing. I'm for it. The bris, the idea of doing it kind of like as a form of sort of entertainment.
I want everyone to know that he's holding his hands. This is radio, as if he were doing this Sandek thing.
He's holding the baby.
So I looked up in the Old Testament, which is on the internet. Well, I didn't even know they had it back then, but it is on the internet and explains the whole thing. Which is that God comes to Abraham when Abraham is 99 years old. It's never a good thing when God comes to you in the Old Testament. It's like it's never for a fun reason. It's never like God never says, "Hey, just turn the Dead Sea into wine. Go take a." It's always, you know, like you need to smite somebody, or you need, you know, build an ark or whatever. In this case, God says to Abraham, who's 99, bear this in mind. He says, you're going to be the patriarch of the Jewish people. You're going to get, you know, the land of Canaan, which is the biblical term for what we now call Long Island. And you're going to be the patriarch, and it's going to be a fruitful, you know, and multiply. But as a token of the covenant between you and me, you have to circumcise yourself and every male member of your household forevermore.
I'm squirming around.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, like, why did that have to be the token? Why couldn't they just shake hands, you know? Anyway, I was the Sandek for Rob, for Dylan, my grandson. And
has he ever forgiven you?
He took it like a man. No. He like a little man. I cried like a baby. It was not a good time for me, but he handled it great.
All right, and I also wanted to mention that we have here with us in the studio Matt Meltzer, who is the
circumcised, right, Matt?
Wow, Dave, that got real personal real quick.
We had a little time to get to know each other.
It is, you were just looking over in the men's room, is what you were doing. I know.
Well, for those of you who want to know, he's the Miami editor for the Thrillist Media Group. And later on in the program, he's going to give us the restaurant news for this week, along with maybe Dave has some ideas about restaurants.
Sure, yeah. Always interested.
And maybe a good Passover Seder.
So that your fans can go there and wait for you and try and get autographs when you're trying to have dinner. That's a great idea.
You know, and Matt is a comic in his own right.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. Matt, be funny right now.
Yeah.
All right, back to the book.
Back to the book.
The Haggadah.
The book.
Some people may not know what a Haggadah is.
Okay. I will start with what a Seder is. Every year at Passover, which is every year at a different date. Which is one of the fun things that Jewish people like to do, just keep everybody on their toes. And if you are Jewish, a little tip, if you have a goy boss, you can just say to him any given day of the year, by the way, tomorrow is Harish Kadoma. It's the second most holy day in the Jewish calendar. And there's no way they can ever contradict
Remember that expression, 10 days from Tisha B'Av or something? Did you know that really is a holiday?
No, I didn't.
Tisha B'Av is a holiday.
I'm sure it is.
It's a very, very sacred holiday.
One of the third or fourth most sacred. And it, but you could do it anytime. So anyway, but anyway, Passover, yes. Also known as Pesach, is a celebration of the escape of the Jewish people from bondage in Israel. I mean, in Egypt, and you know, how they wandered in the desert and ultimately found the Promised Land. And it's a meal that commemorates that. And the Haggadah is the kind of guiding book that takes you through the ceremony of this alleged meal where you never actually get to eat any food. Okay, I see you have to take a break.
Okay, so I'm Linda Gassenheimer. In case you haven't figured this out, we're talking with humorist Dave Barry. We're going to take a short break here, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. And we've been talking with humorist. I'm laughing because we can barely get through a sentence. It's Dave Barry. His latest book is...
For This, We Left Egypt.
Okay.
And it's written by three of the funniest people I've ever created. A blurb by God on the book.
Yeah, on the book.
God blurb this book, yeah. Hard to get, I mean, it's hard to get past secretary.
It's pretty good to get God to give you a blurb.
Hard to get past his secretary. Okay. And the other two people are Adam Mansbach and Alan Zweifel.
Right. And they all wrote this together. And what I want to know, Dave, you live in Miami. The other one lives in New Jersey. Alan lives in New Jersey. Adam lives in California.
Amazing.
How did you get together on this?
Well, we knew each other. I've known Alan for quite a while. And he and I actually wrote a book together called Lunatics, a novel. But
just laughing because I couldn't imagine two lunatics writing the book.
No, it was fun. And then, we're friends. And then Adam and Alan wrote a book together about Ben Franklin time traveling. It's so many books are about today. And... So they knew each other, and Alan and I knew each other, and Adam had this idea to write, he wanted to write Haggadah, so that's what we did.
But how did you get together? I mean, did you get together in the same how did you write it? I mean, three people, it could be a totally different book.
Modern style, we use the internet.
Oh my goodness, yes.
It's going to be huge. Yeah. Everybody, people should invest in it. We just broke... took the classic, I think it was the Maxwell House Haggadah. We all bought one. We got on a phone and said,
use that as your guide.
Yeah, you take this chapter. I'll take, whatever. And then we went through it and wrote our version of it. Nobody has yet used our version in an actual Seder because Pesach never has happened while this book is.
So, right.
But some people have claimed to me that they intend to actually use our Haggadah. And I just hope that works out and there's no lawsuits.
In my one Seder, I remember the questions.
The four questions? Yes, of course.
And?
Manashtana Halayla Hazay. Right?
That's every Jewish song.
What about these emails back and forth?
Well, they were very funny.
I would like to see some of them, I can imagine.
The email, you really could not print them. We spent half of our time actually writing Haggadah and the other half of the time writing really insulting emails about each other. So there's a huge email correspondence generated by this book that will, I hope, never see the light of day.
The emails part.
Yeah. Joe, there's a note to Episcopalians in the Haggadah. Can you read it?
The note to parents and the note to grandparents. Then there's a note to Episcopalians. And
I couldn't believe Dave put me in the book, the Episcopalians.
And what is the note to them?
The plagues.
No,
you bought the wrong book. Yes,
the book, let's explain. The book is filled with writing and everything. And there's one page saying the note to Episcopalians with the one sentence, you bought the wrong book, and the rest of the page is blank.
Right. I like the note to grandparents.
That was written by Alan Zweifel.
Now, you're a grandparent, Linda.
Yes, as is Dave.
I am too. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes. So
but not together.
No. Can I read the note to grandparents?
Let's not start that rumor.
Okay. The note to grandparents is, to put it bluntly, you are the most loathed at the Seder table.
Well, I just want to clarify why.
Wait, I'm going to read that sentence.
Okay. But that doesn't refer to us.
No,
right?
No, no,
of course not.
It says, yes, During the other 364 days of the year, you are cherished, respected, and tolerated for smelling more like a cedar closet than you once did. You represent happy childhoods to your children, give gifts, and tell great stories to their children, and are forgiven for having teeth the same color as Dijon mustard. But then, in the same time it takes to say, after 40 years in the desert, Moses' breath could have melted a pyramid, all that unbridled affection unravels because of the insistence that we read every single Hebrew word of the already long service that stands in the way of partaking in the festival.
Right. And that's the thing. If you're like me and you're coming to this from outside the culture, that's, it's like the most of this seems like a giant barrier between you and the brisket. Okay. Somewhere at the end of this is a brisket slowly drying out
you're
somewhere
talking about
in the kitchen.
The service. Yes. The service is the giant barrier.
There's a, yes. There's a meal somewhere behind, if you can get through all of this, you know, with the parsley and whatever. But then you get to like the grandparent who remembers every single verse to Dainu. You know, like almost there. No, he knows one more verse.
Let's explain. First of all, the Seder is it's a service that you have to sit through before
well, it's
you
kind
get
of a,
the meal.
It's kind of a mixture. It's a meal, a ceremonial meal. I mean, there's no rabbi there. It's usually this is one of the funny things about it is like. The Jewish family decides what it's going to be. And there's a lot of, often there's a lot of debate about, like in the Christian tradition, the minister just says, no, now we all stand up. Now we all kneel. Not in the Jewish tradition. It's like, I don't think we'll do that part. Or we skip that part.
Okay. So then you have this and you're going to have the meal. But there's a Seder plate. And there's a Seder plate on the cover of your book.
Yes.
Tell us what that is.
Well, the Seder plate is this kind of bizarre collection of things that you can't actually eat. Like, there's parsley on there. Nobody's ever eaten parsley.
You do at the Seder, though.
You do,
dip it in salt water, remember?
Well, yeah, some of us kind of
I wouldn't say you eat it. You dip it, and you kind of move it around your mouth like a cow.
It's kind of like trying to eat. It's like eating dental floss. Is what it's, and then there's a shank bone.
You wash it down.
You know, which is the bone of a shank.
It's a famous animal. Yes.
And I was shocked. Lynn and I discussed this earlier to find that there really is a reason. I mean, shank bone is supposed to be a specific kind of bone. In my family, we use a chicken bone, which is definitely...
And you had no idea what a shank bone is.
No, I don't even know what a shank
bone is. And Matt Melton knew what it was.
What, a shank bone?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm Jewish. I mean,
your definition was not correct.
No. Oh, you mean a jailhouse weapon.
He had it confused with a shiv.
I think shank and shiv are synonyms.
They could be. Or you could, and you actually could use the shank bone as a shiv.
Okay.
Yeah. They don't call it the shiv bone, though.
So, for
the record, you could also use a shard of matzah as a shiv. One of the few foods that can also
enough.
Be used as a building material and a weapon. And that's why they carried it with them in the desert.
Okay, so a shank bone is? Did you learn?
Yes, it's the lamb. It's
the
bone from
the
lamb.
The Paschal lamb.
Yes, Paschal lamb. And why do we have a Paschal
lamb? Wait, and is a Paschal lamb different from just a regular lamb?
I think so.
Do you think?
These ones they use on menus to make it sound fancy. it's Paschal lamb. That's why it's $39.
Is it an artisanal Paschal lamb?
It's farm to table.
Yeah.
Organically raised, humanely raised
Paschal
lamb.
Free range Paschal lamb.
Yes, and so there's a shank bone. So what else is on that plate?
There's...
Do you know? I mean...
Not really. There's an egg. There's a hard-boiled egg.
Okay.
Now that's edible.
Well, yeah.
Debatable.
It's edible, but then how often do you go to sit down at a nice meal and say, you know what? Let's have some hard-boiled eggs.
Wait a minute. Dave,
that's like when you're out plowing the fields, you have a hard-boiled
egg. Talk about your theory about parsley.
Well, this is not my theory. This is the fact. Every restaurant in America, when it opens, buys 1 pound of parsley. Sometimes you get it from a restaurant that's closing. Every time they send a dish out, they put like a tenth of an ounce, a gram maybe, of parsley on that. And it goes out. Nobody ever eats it. It comes back. They put it back in the bucket. They keep that same parsley going for decades.
Okay.
It's quite possible, be having parsley on your plate that was also on Christopher Columbus's plate.
Or was in the desert.
Could have been out there. Moses could have had the same
parsley.
Exactly. You know.
Okay. So talking about the desert, he says in the book that it feels sometimes it feels like a 40-year schlep through the desert.
Can I just address the desert part?
Yeah, please do.
I discussed this in the book. Did a little research in the telling in the Old Testament that Moses and the Israelites wandered through the desert for 40 years before they got to the Promised Land. Now, do a little math here. Let's say a standard Israelite wanders 1,000 steps a day. And let's say each step is 1.5 feet, okay? Let's say they don't wander at all on Jewish holidays or on a Sabbath, on Shabbat, okay? Even with all that non-wandering, they're still in 40 years going to wander. They could have wandered if they'd wandered in a straight line from the Middle East to Norway. And had they done that, the world would be a lot calmer and more peaceful than it is right now today. Instead, they were still in the desert after 40 years, and which tells us they were not wandering in anything close to a straight line.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a break. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. In case you couldn't tell, we're talking with Dave Barry, and we'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And now we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. We've been talking with humorist Dave Barry. His latest book is Bonnie, For This.
Linda.
For this, we left Egypt.
Okay, oh, Linda.
It's a Passover Haggadah for Jews and those who love them. He's been giving us a very interesting look at the Passover Seder. But for now, for just a minute, it's dinner in minutes time. And this is a quick dinner that's going to work for your Passover time or any time you want. And it's a fresh herb chicken with red potatoes and green beans. With the help of a food processor and a microwave oven, it only takes a few minutes. And Joe, I know you can make this one in a few minutes because you can just, in your food processor, put some tarragon, and Dave will let you have a little bit of his parsley to go in there with some mushrooms.
Joe can have all my parsley.
Oh, thank you.
I inherited it from my grandfather. It's time I pass it on.
And you chop it up in the food processor. The potatoes and green beans are made in the microwave. So all you need to do is saute the chicken and add the chopped herbs to it, and it's done. That complete recipe and a photo. It's at dinnerinminutes.com. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. And if you want to see Dave Barry in action, we have a Facebook Live video. It's at WLRN.org, WLRN's Facebook page. And let me tell you, it is hilarious. So go and look at it. But right now, it's time for our restaurant news. And we have with us Matt Meltzer. He's the Miami editor of the Thrillist Media Group. He's got some tips for what's going on in the restaurant business this week, or where should we go this weekend to eat?
I feel like this is really why everybody tuned in today, was for this little segment.
Yes,
right,
of
here.
Of course,
yes,
right.
That's great. Well, it's keeping on the Jewish theme, because why not? There's a new spot called Hank and Harry's Deli out in the beach, and it's the first Jewish deli, really, to open in Miami Beach since, I think, Rascal House closed, which was
I'm surprised because there really hasn't been a Jewish.
There was Roasters and Toasters, which was deli-ish, but this is the first real Jewish deli. It's from Buzzy Sklar. He probably best known as bringing us Burger and Beer Joint and Sliders. It's a real kind of authentic Jewish deli. They have Bialy's there, if you're familiar with those. Fresh bagels he gets from a guy up in Delray. Great meats in there. Black and white cookies, chicken noodle soup that they make there in house. Everything there is really fantastic.
Black and white cookies, those are.
Black and white cookies.
Those are deli-ish.
Oh yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's like a New York deli staple
right there. Yeah, and I mean,
is this like an eat-in place? Or
yes.
You just go in.
Yeah, it's fast casual. You go there, you order your sandwich and your soup, and then you sit down, and it's not expensive, unlike everything else in South Beach. It's right off Lincoln Road, and you can get a sandwich for under $10, which I have not seen in Lincoln Road, probably since it was a dangerous place to go. So, really an exciting thing if you're into deli food. If you're not one who likes going to the beach, it's definitely worth the trip out there. Also, new spot in the Gables called Pizza Rev. It's a new fast casual spot. It's sort of you watch them make your pizza for you. You pick one of your 30 toppings, and they cook it in a 900-degree oven in about 3 minutes, and it comes out well. If Chipotle was still cool, they'd call it like the Chipotle of pizza, but nobody really wants any part of that anymore. They are, though, tonight, if you want to try it out.
We don't want any lawyers calling, please.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That was opinions are my own and not WLRN's.
Thank you.
tonight they're having a benefit, a pay-what-you-want benefit. Suggested donation is $8. But you can pay less if you want dirty looks from people, and they can. It all goes for Feeding South Florida. So all the proceeds, all the money tonight. If you want to check the place out, great place
to
go.
Where is it again?
It's at 130 Miracle Mile in Coral Gables.
Right.
Also new in the Gables, a new Italian spot called Zucca. It's from actually a Latin American restaurant group. This is their first U.S. concept, but it's at the old Hotel San Michel in the Gables. If you're familiar, it was sort of a sort of a grand old spot in the Gables. They've redone it. This is their
It's
an Italian restaurant in a French named hotel. So keep that straight.
That's a very cool hotel.
No, it's really cool. Yeah, it's a neat spot that nobody's done a whole lot with in a long time. So. It'll be interesting to see how this place goes. I admittedly have not been in yet, but it was definitely a spot worth checking out.
Beautiful. I mean, they spent millions on just the decor. It's beautiful.
As they do. Also in the Gables, Shankbone, a new all-parsley restaurant from humorous Dave Barry. All parsley.
Parsley is the new bakery. You'll see.
That's all they have. Good. So we'll be interested to see if Dave Barry can actually do in the restaurant world what he's done with books. But the menu at least will be funny. And real quickly, a couple new spots for those of you up in Palm Beach County in the Boca Raton area. Palm Beach has finally caught on to the pokey trend. You know, we have Pokey Rao down here and Pokey House in Fort Lauderdale. They have Poke Company now up in Boca, right near Meisner Park, right off US 1. Real good standard fresh poke stuff. But if you're up in that South Palm Beach County area and have seen these places open in Miami and in Broward, this is your chance to go.
Those are the bowls.
To go try it. Yeah, they're the bowls with like the fresh tuna.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they've got
Hawaiian.
They're Hawaiian themed, but you know they're now, of course, they're sort of the new trend for especially for fast casual, and it's pretty reasonably priced. I think small bowls are about $11, and large ones are $14. So you know if you want a good healthy, nice lunch up there, it's a good spot to go.
Okay. Well, that sounds wonderful.
I'm hungry. Everybody's hungry.
I know.
On that note, you know, Dave's book is for Bonnie.
For this, we left Egypt.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be the one to say
Okay. Right. I'm doing my best. For this, we left Egypt. And I have to tell you, people are snapping them up. Because not only is it $6 a month on the sustainer plan or one-time gift of $72, but no matter what you give, if it's more than that, you get a copy of the book. So I think you're going to have to another printing of this book.
A signed copy, yes.
All right, on that note, we haven't talked about wine. I mean, you know, there's a lot of wine in the Passover Seder. Dave, tell us about the wine in your book.
Adam, it's Alan's White Bell's joke, but on the cover says, Manischewitz, wine or plague?
Tell us what Manischewitz is. Some people may not know.
Who doesn't know?
Square bottle. Some people,
very,
who knows?
It's a very, well, I think, not, you know, we shouldn't be dissing it.
It's a marinade for brisket, isn't it?
I believe they have now got good wine from Manischewitz. Am I not right?
But it's not as bad as it used to be.
It's not bad. Okay. Yeah. But high praise. Not as bad as it used to be.
For Manischewitz.
But it used to be like cough syrup, basically. Only not really as good as cough syrup.
A little. Okay, so you need to drink this during the Seder.
You do. There are like
various
times.
But you could have other wine. You don't have to have Manischewitz.
Or you can just, we recommend tequila, and to be honest. Which isn't, you know, spelled out in so many words in the Bible, but if, you know, there are certain rabbis that never known. But you're supposed to drink, I think, 4 cups of wine during the Seder. We get it up to, I think, 11 or 12.
In your book.
And that gets you through the Seder.
Yeah.
Never has anyone had 4 cups of wine at a Seder.
Yeah, but you know what bothers me is the first one they say, we raise the Seder cup. But then we put it back down. No! You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. You say prayer first, and then... Right.
No, you got to put it back down. What's that about?
Okay. Bonnie, did you want to read a part?
Well, I was going to read about the third cup of wine.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So you lift your wine cup, or if this is Cinco de Mayo, your themed Seder, your tequila bottle.
There you go.
Okay. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, in the translation of that, which it really is, we praise you, Adonai our God, ruler of the universe, commander of the cosmos, copy di tutti copy, lord of the rings, queen of the prom, who creates the fruit of the vine and all the varietals thereof, including but not limited to your Merlots, your Cabernet Sauvignons, your Zinfandels, and for dessert course, your Sauternes, and who, more importantly, created fermentation, without which we would never get through the entire Seder.
And
without,
that is a literal translation of...
Without stabbing ourselves in the eyeball with a fork.
Okay. Okay.
Very accurate translation.
Yes, that's exactly what it means.
So, Dave, is there an audiobook? of this?
Yeah, actually, there is.
Well, who read it?
Oh, I read my parts. That one, for example, was me. And Adam read his, and Alan read his. So,
and I can't imagine.
Except that Alan read all the Hebrew parts. There is some Hebrew in here, including at one point the Hebrew version of a repair manual for a Kelvinator refrigerator. We figure nobody cares what the Hebrew actually says. That's part of the joy of the Seder.
I saw an interview once with Adam, and he said, "Well, how did you know about Hebrew?" And he said, "Oh, it's very simple. Rabbi Google."
No, that's the point, Bill. Yeah, we use Rabbi Google a lot in writing this book. He's our main authority.
Have you had any authorities being upset with you about this?
So far, no. I mean, the book, we dedicate the book to the Jewish people who have a terrific sense of humor, we hope. And so far, they have more than justified that hope on our part. People have been, hey, Jews get it. You know what I mean? They do. They just do.
Okay. I guess that's why I thought you were Jewish. You seem Jewish.
Oh, thank you.
Well, he's got a house full, so there you go. Well, you grew up in New York.
I did. And okay. Many of my friends when I was growing up, yeah, my parents' right. friends were Jewish. So
I want to know something. When we're almost out of time. Well, I just quickly, were you always funny?
Well, until just now, yeah.
In high school, in school,
I was actually elected class clown in Pleasantville High School class of 1965. Yeah, so I mean, I was certified funny by my own classmates way back then.
Well, on that note, we're going to go to another break, and I just want to say thank you, Dave.
Well, thanks for having me, and I hope everybody pledges. Because why not?
Okay, right. Well, you're going to still have time to tell them to.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and Matt, thank you for joining us.
Thank you again. Always fun.
Come on.
This is the clapping, right?
We're going to do Dianu.
Mumble along like
if,
we usually
if you
do.
If you don't pledge right now, we're going to keep playing Dianu.
Never get to the last.
Which is the
we're
last.
We're playing every verse of this.
Do we have the Haggadah?
Until we get some pledges, ladies and gentlemen.
866-247-9576. 866-247-9576.
We're going to slaughter this Pascal lamb if you don't pledge.
WLRN.org.
Yes, well, I want to thank both you, Bonnie, and Joe for being with me today.
Well, this is our job to be here. I have to be here.
And that is Dave Barry talking, who's been amusing us for this entire hour. And his book is... I'll say it now.
You say it. Okay. You did very well.
All right. For this, we left Egypt. Huh?
Oh, wow. Linda, yes. You have it in you.
Linda's become more Jewish as this show has gone on.
So do pledge, and you'll get a signed copy of Dave Barry's book, $6 a month. That's
or a one-time gift of $72. It's nothing.
Nothing. No, it's nothing for this amount. We should charge an entertainment tax. He should charge that for his
book.
Yeah,
this book is an $800 value. I mean, if it's on the radio, it must be true, right?
Absolutely. Yeah that's.
Yeah, and Matt Nelson, thank you so much for all your information and restaurant news.
Always a pleasure, Linda. Always.
Always fun
thank
having
you, Matt.
You.
Yes.
Thank you, Bonnie.
And also, next week, we're going to be talking with Max Alvarez. He's the co-owner with his brother Christian of the Argentinian restaurant Fiorito.
Oh,
Argentina.
Well, let me just say right now that if you make that contribution right now, even you can pick up the Haggadah for $6 a month on our sustainer plan, and you'll also get entered into two drawings, not one but two, but today only, a credit for $1,500 on American Airlines and our grand prize drawing for a six-night getaway for two to Argentina. Today's
you can also
the only day.
Avoid by pledging. Avoid the 10 plagues that are in the book.
That's right. And those 10 plagues are, Joe?
Blood, humidity, frogs, nervousness, lice, constipation like you would not believe, locusts, and this one, Jerry Lewis, boils, and gluten.
Yours for just $6. Very clever. 866-247-9576 or WLRN.org.
Again, that number, 1-866-247-9576 or online, WLRN.org. That wraps up today's edition. We hope you enjoyed it. We also hope you made a pledge during our program.
Well, we can find out from Suzanne. How did we do, Suzanne?
You surpassed the expectations.
Okay.
All right. There you
okay.
go. Yes. Yay.
And you know why? That's because of Dave Barry.
We thank him.
Yeah.
Matt Meltzer, Linda Gassenheimer.
Another note on his resume.
Yes.
Our lead producer, Richard Ive, technical supervision from operations manager and online producer, Jason Zabka. Polly Landis is associate producer. You can help us break that record even more.
I'm showing you the number of $72 pledges that we've gotten. You see this? You see, Dave? This is all for your book.
Good.
It's pretty good, huh? Look at that.
But there could be more. There could be more.
And we'll make it. Just let me know.
He doesn't know we're still on the
no,
air.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Bonnie and I returned for Monday for our members
only.
The
show never ends.
It's like a Passover Seder.
Monday, it's members only with Bonnie and me. We chat with WLRN members about their public radio experience. We hope you'll join us. We also ask why you continue to pledge and support public radio and hope you continue to do so. Once again, and finally, our number, 1-866-247-9576, or online pledge at WLRN.org.
We want to thank everybody who's made their contribution during
Joseph
the show.
Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, Linda Gassenheimer, Dave Barry, Brad Meltzer, Here and Now is next.
From Matt Meltzer.
I'm not Brad. I wish I was Brad.
Yeah, you would.